It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today, on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, we have before us a warning from our Lord about the end times, a warning that he gave to us after his Sermon on the Mount. You may have recognized that the theme of this sermon was taken from the opening paragraph of the novel by Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. This novel was set in the time of the revolution in France. From the daily news, we see that we live in such times, with crimes committed wantonly by the highest officials of the land, immorality being promoted by the highest officers of the nation, and the defiance of some of our highest officials before the bishops of the church. There are articles now available putting together 10 signs of a new world war to come. Let us recognize all of this for what it is. These are the many signs of a revolution being prepared, not only in our country, but in almost all of the countries of Christendom. And the church is one of the targets. There is no outcry from our political leaders. Shamefully, our bishops show no unity of purpose or strength of will. No doubt, this causes all of us lots of fear. There are many who will rise up as though prophetically giving us different pieces of advice of what we are to do and trying to lead us in one direction or another. Our Lord himself warns us about them in today's gospel. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Let us look closely at the readings of today's Mass to understand what we are to do in these troubled times. From the history of the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, written by Flavius Joseph, we have a perspective of the tragedies that befell the Jewish people when they rejected the Messiah and refused to acknowledge him. By rejecting the Messiah sent by God, the chosen people found themselves in a state of darkness. Running hither and thither, still waiting for the Messiah as though he never came, the once beloved of God refused to backtrack, recognize their errors, and join the few who recognize Jesus the Christ as the promised Savior long foretold. It is not to say that the scribes and Pharisees did not know that Jesus is the Lord. Being experts in the law and the prophets, they were the best placed to know that it was indeed the time for the coming of the Messiah. And yet they rejected him when he came before them, having done all things well. The blame rests squarely on their shoulders for misleading their people. Knowing that it was the promised time for the coming of the Messiah, and having waited in anticipation for such a long time after rejecting the real Messiah, the chosen people found themselves filled with an anxiety by which they saw their Savior in every opportunistic false prophet that caught their attention. In the war between the Romans and the Jews in 70 AD, the whole city of Jerusalem was destroyed. We can read about the worst of atrocities perpetrated against the citizens of that accursed city, once the jewel of the whole region. In that terrible time, God saved his church by bringing them out of the city before its final destruction to survive for another time. As young as she was in 70 AD, the church was saved by nothing other than faith in Jesus Christ. Dear faithful, even now our salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and within His church. It is the virtue of faith that gives a supernatural motive to all the other virtues. It is the virtue of faith that is the solid nourishment for the virtues of hope and charity. The whole edifice of the church rests on faith in Jesus Christ, and by this same faith we remain within the church, growing in perfection. Therefore, in these times of trouble, it is necessary to continue growing in the virtue of faith. When we are most shaken or worried, we must make acts of faith to stave off temptation and continue on our way. A soul that exercises its virtue of faith constantly attracts the help of the Holy Spirit, who will establish in it His dwelling place. Such a soul, growing in faith and seeking always to conform to the truth taught by Jesus Christ, truth for which He did not hesitate to shed His blood, such a soul will find itself going through the storms of the present time in a state of calm and peace. Take note, dear faithful, this faith should not only be directed towards our Lord through His church, it should also be firmly established in our souls. For what good is a weak faith when the false prophets come? This is why our faith is tested. As the iron is forged in the fire, our faith is made stronger the more it is exercised. The patriarchs of the Old Testament showed that their hope in the Messiah was founded upon their faith in God. St. Paul spoke of the fulfillment of the promises of God, even for the Gentiles, as long as they showed the same faith in Abraham. Therefore, it is of faith that according to grace, the promise might be firm to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Romans. Our Lord came to close the Old Testament and restore to His chosen people the fullness of the faith shown in Him by the patriarch Abraham. Without any testing, the faith that we have received will forever remain weak and puny. At the first sight of trouble, it will be shaken, and we will immediately become anxious. For this reason, just as weeds grow in a garden, we will have to constantly deal with thoughts, actions, and movements of our passions that can trouble our peace and take us off track when we are making good progress. In our present world, we also have to deal with the barrage of ideologies, lies, and false information being thrown at us all the time. To strengthen us in our faith in the Lord, God has always permitted sects and heretical teachings to flourish. It is at these times, and while striving against such errors, that the faith becomes all the more sharpened. Each of us has to face this battle in the field of our souls, fighting not only our past attachments to sin and the disordered movements of our passions, but also the infiltration of the lies of the devil and the world into our souls. By our personal triumphs over the lies and a firm adhesion to the truths of the church, we will be a child of the light shining in the world. What we are seeing in the world and the church today is a fruit of the last 60 years of living as we wished and not according to the teachings of Holy Mother Church. The church, as the mystical body of Christ, is at the same time a human and divine institution. It is both visible and invisible. While her human members may fail, including in bishops not standing firm for the faith when required, as a divine institution, Holy Mother Church is impeccable. Therefore, when we hold on to the perennial teachings of the Church, the doctrine that she has taught and held for the whole of her existence, we do not stray from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. At present we see that the enemy of the church has raised a large army against her. They have infiltrated her both from within and without and are constantly on the attack. If their lives, as despicable as they are summarily dismissed because they are so ridiculous that they are not even worthy of argument, they clamor all the more loudly and badger Holy Mother Church all the more. Many have fallen by weakness of faith to these lies. Many, even among our bishops, have attempted to compromise with the liars, hoping for some peace. Dear faithful, let us also admit that what we see happening outside in the world, we have seen in our souls. When we fail to nourish our faith, we fail to have a supernatural motive for our prudence, and thereby we make choices that we deplore later in our lives. When we fail to hold firmly to the faith, we fall prey to the most specious arguments by our own rationalizing, compromising easily with the lies that we hear. When we do these things, we make the one true Catholic faith into something convenient for us. And while we do not lose all of the light of faith, a dull version of it takes root in our souls. What we see happening in large scale in the whole church, we may have experienced ourselves by failing to exercise our faith. We may hope that a few compromises will not hurt. However, we deceive ourselves. When we fail to hold on to the faith in its integrity, we damage it. Over time, like the tuck pointing of the stonework of any building, the elements erode the mortar that binds the stones together until it breaks up and no longer holds. Then, dear faithful, without faith, our natural prudence loses its supernatural motive and we make bad decisions. Our charity has no foundation. When the stones have nothing to bind them together, they fall off. When the faith is lost, all indeed is lost. Therefore, as our Lord warns us in the Gospel, we must beware the false prophets who we can recognize by their fruits. We must be careful to hold firmly to the truths of the faith as the Church has always taught them, not compromising it in its integrity in any way. If we recognize that we have allowed ourselves to be fooled by lies in the past, let us apply ourselves from now on to producing the good fruits of justice and truth. If we have given in to our passions, let us stop rationalizing, forgive our enemies, and apply ourselves to cultivating virtue. St. Paul tells us in today's epistle to yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification, as you once yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. Our first duty, and the only duty for which we are responsible, is the sanctification of our souls. Our sanctification cannot be apart from our duties of state. Even if we are disappointed by the weak action on the part of some of the bishops, saddened by the news of the church from across the nation and from abroad, our duty of working towards our personal sanctification remains. We will not be judged on anything else. Let us not forget that today is the 17th anniversary of Summorum Pontificum, the motu proprio by which Pope Benedict XVI of blessed memory gave the traditional Mass its liberty. This may be the worst of times because of the evil that is around us, but by faith it can be the best of times. It may be the age of foolishness, a time when even men of the Church seem to be abandoning opportunities to bring so many to Christ, but it is also an age of wisdom, for when sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. It may be the epoch of incredulity, given that many are blind to all that Holy Mother Church has given them and their ancestors in the faith. But it can be the epoch of belief if we intensify the fervor of our prayers. It is a season of darkness, but it can be the season of light through us if we personally adhere to the teachings of Christ and His Church. It can be the winter of despair, but by strengthening our faith, it will become the spring of hope. It may appear that we have nothing before us, but with God, we will have everything before us. Let us therefore renew our resolutions and seek the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Joseph to pray with ever-increasing fervor, to nourish our faith by spiritual reading, most especially on Sundays and holidays, and to seek first the kingdom of God. In the words of Pope Pius XII, Sundays and holy days must be made holy by divine worship, which gives homage to God and heavenly food to the souls. Sundays should also be a day to spend time with family and not to give into any unnecessary activities. Let us pray that by the grace of God, our faith may be nourished and strengthened so that we will be found worthy of heaven. Christians living in the world as they should draw many graces from the Lord. There is no reason to fear the evils ahead, but we must stay firm in our faith so that we can be instruments of the Lord in the transformation of the world. O Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.